We're continuing to examine what I've called the road to ruin. And I've made a lot of this applicable to the United States simply because it's where we live, it's what we're most familiar with. But the ideas, the philosophies of secular humanism and the things that are related to it, atheism, all of the new sexual mores that and norms that they've tried to establish, things that are perversions that they're attempting to establish as normal. These things have gone throughout all the world. They're not new. You read Romans chapter 1, and you find out nearly every society that has ever failed follows a pretty predictable way of perversion, where they deny God, they deny Him as Creator, they begin to promote homosexuality and all other kinds of sinful perversions, evidently in the Roman Empire. It's one of the ways in which it fell, was what Paul catalogs there in Romans chapter 1. It's a cultural reprobation where people cast off the Word of God, just like Joe taught this morning in our devotion, there is no light in them. When they don't speak according to the Word of the living God, there's no light in them. And, of course, their reply is, well, that's just a book of myths. We need to get rid of the idea of a deity, that there's a God in heaven, that there's a creator, that people can be saved for all eternity. And you know, that sadly, because men love darkness rather than light, a majority of our world receives that and rejects the truth. Now that does not dismiss our responsibility to preach truth on the one hand and expose error on the other. And that's exactly what Baptists have been doing ever since Jesus organized the first church during His earthly ministry. There's always been the preaching of the gospel, the preaching of the truth of the Word of God, and while that's going on, it exposes falsehood and sin and false religion and false ideologies. And as a result, the Baptists who were teaching these truths were persecuted. They were hounded. They were imprisoned. They were put to death. They were burned at the stake. And a lot of times you'll find history repeating itself. There is a growing hostility for what the Word of God declares to be truth. And that hostility is not just against God, but against those who want to embrace and hold on to the truth. I don't believe that the Antichrist has been revealed yet. In fact, I believe we'll be gone by the time that he is actually revealed. But make no mistake about it. The spirit of Antichrist has been in men since the first century. John, in 1 John chapter 4, I think, said that, you know, that those who have the spirit of Antichrist, who deny the truth, they're with us even now. And so it is. I believe that every pope of Rome has had the spirit of Antichrist. I don't believe the pope's going to be the Antichrist, by the way. I believe that in all probability, and this is conjecture to a point, this is my kind of an opinion. I think the false prophet in Revelation is going to be a combo of the pope and the Muslim religion. And somehow or another, they've begun to kind of, it's fascinating. I'm sure you remember the series I did on Not Christian. Remember that series? Doesn't strike a bell? Well, what I was doing was I was exposing the errors of Roman Catholicism. Because I, for some reason, it just rubbed me the wrong way. This was back in like 2015 or 16 or something. And the Pope made a public statement that building walls is not Christian. And I thought, what a filthy hypocrite, man. The guy lives behind walls in the Vatican. And he come out, the unholy Papa come out and said something like that. And I thought, and of all people, all right, on the face of the earth, to actually say something's not Christian. The rotten, stinking, filthy Pope of Rome. So I thought, you know what? I'm just going to expose what the cat. Here's what amazed me as I was studying this. How closely related in doctrine and practice and ideals and their work salvation system the Roman Catholic Church and Islam are. They are closely intertwined. And it makes sense because they both started right around the same time. I mean, the Roman Catholic Church was really gaining steam by 600 AD. But I believe that somehow or another there's going to be a combo. And the false prophet is going to be able to unite religions against Christ. Of course, they're going to fail. But these are things that are all leading up to this. This is the reason why you have so much apostasy. So many people denying the truth. So many people forsaking the truth. It's because I believe that we're living in the last days and the spirit of Antichrist is strong. And there is a growing hostility and hatred. But it's nothing new. These things, but I do believe that they've grown with greater force than I can ever remember in my lifetime. Now, we've been looking at the statements that were made in Humanist Manifesto 1 in 1933 and Humanist Manifesto 2 that was reissued in 1973. The reason why I'm going back to these documents is a lot of what they're teaching is what was in the works. And it really exploded, okay, when two philosophies came into being, two falsehoods. Marxism, Karl Marx in the 1850s, and Charles Darwin. Both of those things radically against God and very humanistic. Most people don't realize this. Karl Marx did not just espouse a false economic theory, but he also really founded sociology and psychology in its current forms. He was all about the human. There was no room for God in Marxism. And that's one of the reasons why they attack with great ferocity those who embrace the Word of God. They've got to be purged out of a society. And they do that through indoctrination. Now, here's a statement. Last week we refuted their idea of denying the Scriptures as being authoritative and inspired. Here's what religious humanists say. Religious humanists regard the universe, now listen carefully to this, And it's one of the reasons why one of my hobby horses is creation. You don't get the first verse of the Bible right, you're going to be off kilter the whole way through. Religious humanists regard the universe as self-existing and not created. Humanism believes that man is a part of nature and that he has emerged as a result of a continuous process. Well, that's a clear, direct statement rejecting the biblical account of creation in favor of what I see as the fairy tale of evolution. Added on to that is this notion that in order for something to be authentic and right, it's got to abide by man's test of scientific evidence. Okay, so what they do is they say, well, that's not scientific. The Bible's got plenty of science in it. I believe the Bible. So what I saw somebody make a statement, and I thought, boy, that's really good. I'm going to say that out loud. They said, I'm not really going to accept a whole lot of science from people who say that a man can be a woman. I thought, man, that hits the nail on the head for me. How somebody can get up like that Mr. Levine. I don't call him her Rachel. She is the Health and Human Services Assistant Secretary. She recently argued that puberty blockers, chemical castrations, and cross-sex hormone replacements for young children are needed for children who are experiencing the wrong puberty. She told ABC News, what if you're going through the wrong puberty? What if inside you feel that you're a female, but now you're going through male puberty? You tell them what Andy Griffith said when the boy came up and said, Dad, I think I'm a girl inside. And he looked at him and said, no, you're not. That's the end. It's the end of it. Now, I know you think that, oh, that's comical, but what's wrong with parents? Since when do you judge things by feelings rather than truth? This dude who dresses like a... And I'm not pretending. Somebody said... If a man wants to pretend he's a woman, that's his business. But don't ask me to pretend that they're a woman. Because they're not. It's an impossibility. It's biologically impossible in their DNA. I don't believe this guy. The statements that he makes about young children are anti-scientific. But what happens is, oh, but wait a minute. There's been so many advances in science. Well, that's not one of them. Where you try to indoctrinate young people who are so vulnerable that they can somehow change their sex. And there's a lot of kids doing it through the encouragement of their reprobate parents. See, that's too strong. I'll tell you what, this kind of stuff needs a strong hand. Because we're living in days where people are calling truth error and error truth. Now, and this is another one of my real, I believe that evolutionists, no matter how much they may make a profession of some kind of religious faith, in reality, they're practical atheists. Let's just get right down to it. Same with anybody that believes in abortion. If a politician gets up and says it's a woman's right to be able to eliminate, exterminate, and kill, now they call it just a lump of cells. If they're pushing she has the right to kill that child, they're practical atheists. They don't really believe in God, in the God of the Bible. But that's exactly what we're dealing with. And the sad thing is, these teachings are more popular and more widely accepted than the teaching of Genesis 1:1. Have you ever read through your Bible and jotted down every verse that relates to creation as you read through? You have, Al? I want the list. Every time I start the Bible reading, I think, I need to do that. And I get through maybe Exodus, and then I forget about it. I bet you've got an app for it, don't you? Alan Staley has an app for it. But think about how many verses in the Bible that agrees with Genesis 1:1. That God is the creator, that God is the sustainer of this entire universe. Over and over again, it's one doctrine in the Bible that is clearly stated and always agreeable to the rest of the Bible. So you reject that, you're a practical atheist. That's the long and the short of it. Turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 10. Look at verse 12. And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good. Behold, the heaven and the heaven of heavens is the Lord's thy God, the earth also with all that therein is. Notice this. God is basically linking a person's profession of faith and following the Lord with the teaching that God is the creator, that he's the owner of all the heavens and the earth. Look over at Psalm 24. Some of these I've got memorized, but we'll look at them today. Psalm 24, verses 1 and 2. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas, and established it upon the floods. Look at chapter 32. Psalm 32, verse 4. For the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth. Remember last week we covered the idea that they didn't believe that the word of God was true, that it wasn't authoritative, that it wasn't inspired. Notice how the Word is connected to His creatorial power. He loveth righteousness and judgment. Did I say Psalm 32? It's Psalm 33. I saw you fiddling around over there. See, preachers learn. I don't catch everything, but when you misquote a scripture or a passage, and I know where I'm at, you don't know where I'm at, and people are getting frantic. What's he doing? And that's what Daryl was doing. So it's Psalm 33, verse 4. For the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth. He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathereth the waters of the sea together as an heap. He layeth up the depth in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. God's word is true, and he spoke this world into existence by fiat. And they'll say, well, you expect me to believe that? Well, at least it comes from a reliable source. The Bible has been proven over and over and over again to be the prominent book in all the world. It's a book full of truth, both doctrinal and practical. So I'm going to take this over the ever-evolving opinions of men, what they call quote-unquote science. Now, I'm not anti-scientific. I'm just saying, if you don't line up with the Word of God, there's plenty of... Ken Ham, a great ministry. Henry Morse, who really was one of the founders of creation research, the Institute for Creation Research. And then they're good scientists that line up with the Word of God. All right, look at Revelation 4. And you say, well, yeah, but they're Christians. That's it. That's one of the keys to unlock this. Yeah, they believe God. I have a hard time when people don't believe God. That's where you wind up with a dude in a dress teaching people that their kids are going through the wrong puberty when you reject God and His Word. Revelation 4, verse 11. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. Last book of the Bible makes a clear statement that God is a creator. So it hadn't changed. From Genesis to Revelation, the consensus is God is the creator. Revelation chapter 14 and verse 6. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to Him, for the hour of His judgment is come, and worship Him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of waters. Are you going to take away from that? Because it says in Revelation 22, verse 19, "And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God will take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book." But isn't that exactly what secular humanists have been aiming for? To take the teaching of the inspiration of Scripture, the doctrine of creation, out of the Bible, out of the public sphere, labeling this as false, and anyone who believes it as radical. I hope that I'm radical for the Lord Jesus Christ. Not that I don't plan on taking up a sword and making people profess the faith or cut their head off. I don't believe that's the way of evangelism. I believe in witnessing and preaching the gospel, not like other religions. Now, this may shock you, but other religions through the ages have killed people who would not agree with their religious tenets. The same is true with secular humanism, atheism, Marxism. You realize how many people have been killed under the religion of secular humanism and Marxism? How many people in Russia, the old Soviet Union? How many people in Mao's China and even Xi Jinping's China? You just don't hear about it. In the Muslim countries, the Islamists, if you don't bow to the dictates of Muhammad, you're going to die or be enslaved. It's one of the reasons why we have got to hold on to the truth, no matter what it costs us. This is the road to ruin. And it's broad. And the only hope for people is Jesus Christ, crucified, buried, and risen again as the only Savior of sinners. We're dismissed.